In case you haven't heard, we are smack dab in the middle of a revival that's extending to tomorrow night. Woo! Say, what are you doing? Nothing. I am so late. I'm like high on the Holy Ghost right now. Help me appreciate Chad working this whole weekend. Oh, my. Well, brace yourselves. Put your seatbelts on. Because we're about to hit some turbulence. Oh, you just have to excuse me, because I'm having like my own personal revival right now. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is nobody that can convince me otherwise that we were supposed to come to Kingston, New York this weekend. And I'll just tell you, we might go to Tuesday night. Because I believe there's people in here that are getting ignited on the inside. And that's what revival... People say, why do you go extended meetings? Why do you have night after night meetings? Friend. That sounds like the guy that left 5 minutes before the Holy Ghost came in the day of Pentecost. Doesn't the Bible say, wait upon the Lord, and he shall renew your strength like as of eagle's wings? If you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm staring at you because you're staring at me. When a person realizes what they have on the inside of them, it's deadly. One person agrees with me. That's awesome. When you realize what you have on the inside, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, I'll tell you, I'm going to sound like a broken record this whole week. Did I just say this whole week? No. That's not what I was saying. That's not what I was saying. Hold on. Well, what would happen if revival broke out here this whole week and all of a sudden people started coming from all over? I think it's time for Kingston, New York to have a move of God. But when you realize what you carry on the inside of you, I'm going to say this for the rest of the days that I'm here. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Jesus said that. Out of your belly, not out of the pastor's belly or the evangelist's belly, but out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. We said it tonight. I am a carrier of the presence of God. That's exactly what you are. You carry the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. And just to let you in on a real quick clue, the Holy Spirit is not a dove. He's not a stained glass window. He's not a cross with a light behind it. He's not a Rundi Shundi who shot the pecan down. He is a person. Are you listening tonight? The Holy Spirit is a person. The mere fact that I'm even mentioning his name, he's here right now. He's here right now. He's listening right now because his name is being lifted up. How do you know that? Because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. How many know when you're walking along and you hear people and all of a sudden they mention your name and you stop? You calling me? The Lord is the same. You mention his name and he stops. It says he searches every heart for someone to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's like the Lord is hovering over the earth and he's going, is there anybody? Is there anybody that I can find that will have faith and will worship me. Lord, I pray tonight that you find favor here in Kingston, New York. Let every person in this place not leave the same as they came in here tonight. I break the back of the enemy of religion, of tradition, poverty, depression, oppression, in Jesus' name. Take the lid off everyone tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, my name is Roy Fields, as some of you know, some of you don't know, and that doesn't mean a hill of beans, but I am from New York, but when you move down to Florida, you pick up the southern twang, as you can hear me say right now. So, my wife and I have been traveling on the road for 4 years now, full-time ministry. 4 years ago, I was a worship leader at a church in Northwest Florida. And I'd like to say that we had a transition in our church, but that's really interpretation of the pastor and I got in a fight. Am I being real or not? Because most people, so what church you go to? Well, we're in transition. Oh, so you're in a fight with your pastor. Awesome. It's the same thing when a person walks in the door and you say, how you doing, brother? And they go, blessed and highly favored. What does that mean? Let me interpret. My life sucks, but I'm smiling anyway. So I'm just trying to break the ice with the Christianese that we talk about, you know. We say one thing, but we mean another. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you say something, pastor, your sermon moved me, which being interpreted means it moved me to a nap. I just want to be real with you tonight and tell you that this is what it is. This is the ABCs of us. We're not here doing a show. We didn't come to entertain anybody tonight. We came to touch heaven. Every opportunity I have, I come to touch heaven and lift up the name of Jesus. And not just say that, but mean it in my motive of my heart, that this is about Jesus tonight. When you realize it's about Jesus, I'm telling you, it will change your life. Hear me tonight. Every single person in this room tonight, God has something for you. I don't care if you're young, middle-aged, old. I don't care if you got two eyes, one eyes, hair, no hair. It doesn't matter. God has something for you tonight. And if your ears are in tune by the Spirit, you will receive what the Lord has for you. See, I used to come to meetings years ago where everybody was hanging out like this kind of atmosphere, and it was more fun for me instead of me trying to take it in. Are you with me? Because you got music, lights, and sound, and all that stuff, and wow, and somebody I never heard before, and all that stuff. And you can miss what the Lord has for you. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. God has something for you. How many brought your Bibles tonight? Amen. We're going to have revival with the 12 that brought them. Just to finish my story very quickly. So 4 years ago, we stepped out into full-time ministry. Now listen to this. I wasn't some rebellious kid that's it. I just couldn't submit anymore. No, hear me. When you've been sitting in a pew for 25 years, serving everybody else's ministry and serving everybody else's vision, how many of you know the Lord says, you want a vision? Go serve somebody's vision, then I'll give you a vision. Three people. I'm going to try this church over here. How many know that when you serve another man's vision, the Lord usually gives you a vision? All right, that was pretty good. Let me try this church over here now. I said, if the Lord has you serve another man's vision, he usually gives you a vision. Now, do me a favor. Don't be the TBN audience tonight, okay? Where I raise my hand, everybody's like, ah! It's like a canned response.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
By the way, the reason people are laughing, if people are disturbed by that, I just want to clue you in, is because they're happy. Anyways, we're going to move on from that now. And there will be people that fall over tonight, but I'll tell you why. Don't get scared. It's because they can't stand up anymore. So I just want to clear that up with everybody so nobody goes, why did that guy fall over? His knees had fellowship one with another. That's why he fell over. Okay? But if you serve another man's vision, God finally gives you a vision and says, go do it. How many know that Elisha followed Elijah everywhere he went? Why? Because he was a great servant? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Now, the Bible doesn't necessarily record all the things that Elisha did because it doesn't have enough pages and words to do it. But I have found that the ones that become leaders usually are the ones that become pests. Are you listening? Do you know why that is? There's this woman that petitions the king for her son. And he was sentenced to death for treason. And she kept coming to him and persistently being a pest, which she was. She's like a gnat. Continuously said, King, please have mercy on my son. And he basically, he's committed treason. So the answer is no. So again, she'd come the next day. Let my son go. Mm-mm. Let my son go. Mm. Next day. Let my son go. Let me say, finally, this guy's like, okay, dude, here's the deal. Listen, lady, you come again and ask me, I'm going to sentence you to death. And so she comes again. I'm getting my stories messed up. Hang on with me. Stay with me. Some of you are like, he's not quoting the Bible. This place is dead. Anyway, listen. She petitions over and over and over and over and over again. Finally, the king goes, that's it. Take your son and get the heck out of my sight. Now, that sounds bad because the king's like, I don't like you anymore, but I got my son. Are you with me? I got my son. So you can think whatever you want to think of me. I got my son. And so that's kind of where I was at. I look at Elisha's life. He bugged Elijah and he said, not only do I want your mantle, but Lord, if I get this mantle from you, I want a double portion of what you had. Three people heard what I said. That's awesome. He told the Lord, I want a double portion of Elijah's mantle. Now, why did he want a double portion of Elijah's mantle? Folks, Elijah, as much as we speak highly of him, had many, many, many downfalls. He got suckered by Jezebel. And by the way, Jezebel, I'm not really scared of Jezebel. A lot of people go around, ooh, that's the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel, Jezebel, Jezebel all the way. I don't care if her name's Jingle Bell. God gave you the authority to take over. God gave you the authority to take dominion. And so I began to look at my life and say, Lord, I've served these ministries faithfully. You told me to be faithful with little and you give me ruler over much. And 4 years ago when we stepped out, it was not easy. Having a wife and two children, driving up and down the East Coast from Maine all the way down to Florida about 9 times, driving an SUV, a V10, pulling a trailer. You start the car, it's like $5. Staying in pastors' houses while we're doing the meetings during the night. Staying in hotels night after night after night after night. Some hotels I went to, they were so poor, the roaches didn't even come to them to have a fast. It was bad. It was bad. And back in those days, we were pretty poor. We didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. When you start out in ministry, just think about it. When Jesus is baptized and God speaks,
this.
That was pretty cool.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.
And so Jesus gets baptized and everything. Then he goes,
go to the desert for 40 days and suffer.
Why do you think when Jesus was praying the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And just as he got to the lead us not into temptation, he was basically saying, don't ever do that to me again. Because that's the first place you go. When you start a ministry, If you think for one second you're going to start in ministry and everything's going to be available, you're smoking some bad religious weed. Now, some people snort cocaine. Other people snort religion. Because it's far from the heart. Are you listening tonight? Yeah, I'm here to stir some people. Z formation. Some people snort cocaine. Others snort religion. What do you mean? Okay, great example. Some people, they pray like this. They open up their Bible. Oh, God, we come before you. Lord, if you just please have mercy on this old sod. I mean, I watch it at all these commencement places, and I'm thinking, my Lord, can you please be real with the Lord? Why are you reading this? Because they don't want to mess up on their prayer. Like God's up there going, shh, 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 all you angels, be quiet. He's praying an eloquent prayer. Shut up, Gabriel. Put the trumpet down. I mean, I don't speak to my wife like that. I thought we were supposed to have a relationship with the Lord. I don't... Melanie. I love thee. Hello. How are... Oh, yeah. You. That's why I say some people snort religion.
How far I have by them.
That's not even from the heart. Are you with me tonight? That's not even from the heart. You're just quoting something that somebody else quoted. It was Jesus himself. But everybody wants to make a religion out of what Jesus prayed. Jesus really was trying to lead them in the way to pray with their heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All Jesus was ever about was the heart. And so what I'm getting at is when we stepped out into ministry, God began to test my heart. And basically he was saying this, son, if you go out in ministry and you just try to copy what everybody else is doing, I will not be with you. Because that's why I gave them that thing. You can desire part of that gift. You can desire to have attributes of that person or whatever. But I gave you something. I gave you something that will touch the world. I gave you something that will be different, but it's still the same from me. And so out we set, and we went all over the place. I put 65,000 miles on my SUV in 2 years. I don't know how many tires I changed. I mean, I don't know how many times I had a repair. One time we obviously took care of the transmission again. But it was worth it because the Lord called me and called my wife and I. And we've been traveling with my family for the whole time. I don't go anywhere without my family. And I'll say this, that when we stepped out, it was not easy. But we knew that we knew. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. See, the Bible says all are called, but few are chosen. How many know that? The Bible says, okay, let's try that again. All are called, but few are chosen. How many believe that's the word? Amen. Why does it say few are chosen? A lot of people think that the people in the Bible are sovereignly chosen. And I've already gone over this. When you look at their lives, none of them were sovereignly chosen. They chose to be chosen. They had to obey the word of the Lord. If that were the case, then that means every person that God chose was a robot.
Take thy son up to Mount Moriah.
Yes, Lord. Oh, look, there's a ram.
I shall call you father of all nations now.
No. Abraham heard the word of the Lord and did what the Lord said. Moses did what the Lord said. And really, you can thank Moses' mom, because Moses' mother heard the word of the Lord and did what the Lord said. See, the obedience of the Lord, okay? The obedience is what he requires, and it's better than sacrifice. So when you do what the Lord says, the blessings come. And the Lord told me, and if I did not do it, I'm trying to get you to understand where we're coming from. The Lord said to me, you must go. I have called you to go. I felt it in me since I was 11 years of age. I heard the call. And it wasn't some angel.
Roy, you shall play worship music for the rest of your life.
I didn't have that encounter. I got good news for you. If you haven't seen Jesus or you haven't seen an angel, it's okay. Because when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he says, you see me and you believe, but blessed is he who has not seen me and yet believes. So all of you that haven't seen Jesus or an angel, it's going to be okay. Amen?
Amen?
And so I just knew in my heart to do it. So we traveled out. We went from place to place. We went from city to city. We just had revival meetings. I really didn't ask to come into a place. I just said, I'm going there, and it would happen. Okay, no church in this area is going to have us. Okay, fine. I'm going to rent a hall in Horseheads. I'm going to say, revival's coming to Elmira. I did this 3 years ago. Revival is coming to America. Revival is coming to Elmira. And people even said, ha, that's so arrogant. And I'm thinking, what's your poster say? Religion is coming to Elmira? See, revival is something that breaks the heart of stone on a person where they can hear, finally, the true words of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that Sunday morning you don't hear the word of the Lord. Obviously, you heard the word of the Lord. But the reason for revival is to make you uncomfortable in these place. That doesn't even make sense. In this place. It's to make you squirm. And you say, but Roy, if you get everybody squirming and they leave, you won't get a good offering. Bye. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Because we're determined to touch Jesus tonight. We're determined to touch heaven tonight. Because there's people in here that you know in your heart. You are called. You're anointed. You are full of God's presence. And some of you have laid it down. And tonight you're going to pick it back up. And it will be greater in the latter than it was in the former. We started a tour in England called We Are the Generation Tour because I started looking around for the last 10 years, or 5 years I should say, and I saw that this is the mentality of the church. The old guys are going, well, here come the new guys. Guess we know you got out of the way. And here's the new guys. We're coming through. Get out of the way. And that's totally out of balance. Now, I'm a young guy. Kind of. I'm 32. And I recognize something. Why are people not walking in the blessings of the Lord? Why are they being so tormented? And it's because there are principles we just don't live by anymore. And if our forefathers, and I'm not trying to be patriotic, but if our forefathers came to this land and they didn't put some things in motion to set the whole temperament for how life was going to be for us 270-something years later, then we'd be in chaos. And we'd be no different than a third world country. I don't care how much gold is in the land. I don't care how much oil is in the land. If you don't have a set of principles and a set of rules that God sets up, then it's all going to fall apart. God sets principles on purpose. And this is what he tells to the young person. He says, honor thy father and mother. Why? So that your days may be lengthened. How many would like their days to be lengthened just a little bit more? Okay? But then there's Joel 2:28, your young men shall prophesy. Which tells me the older generation needs to allow the younger generation to grow up and become what they're called to be. And guess what? They ain't going to look like you. They ain't going to talk like you. They'll have attributes of you, but they will not be you. Anybody hear me in this quiet Presbyterian church tonight? I've got plenty to say. I'm just sitting here waiting on the Lord. Church can't be as usual. Why do you think we're going another night? We've got to break out of the mentality that it only happens on Saturday and Sunday, at least for Vineyard Church. For other people, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and then an occasional. We had a believers' meeting Friday night. It was really awesome. Lasted 45 minutes. We all went home. When the Holy Ghost fell on the disciples in Acts chapter 2, how many know it messed up their lives? Like Jesus was enough for them. No. Jesus, I think Jesus has a sense of humor. Because then he sends the Holy Ghost. And when he sends the Holy Ghost, they're not dignified. They're not walking according to Hebrew law or the way of culture. No. They appear as drunk. And that's the introduction to the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm quoting Bible here. People are laughing because they're happy. Some people walk in and, brother, I'm good. I'm happy with my depression. Thank you. Got married last week. We had a couple kids named Doubt and Unbelief. So we're good. I mean, isn't it interesting? The introduction to the Holy Ghost is they all get drunk. Read it, Acts chapter 2. They were all gathered in one accord in one place. Then suddenly, that's how God is, suddenly. You'll be sitting here going, I ain't getting anything out of this. Do you know there was a pastor that went to the Brownsville? How many heard of the Brownsville Revival? Pensacola, Florida. There was a pastor that went to Brownsville Revival. And he traveled all the way down from Missouri or something like that, and he gets there. He's there for 4 days. He got nothing, he said. He comes back to his church. He's got 300 people in his congregation. He gets up behind his pulpit Sunday morning, and everybody wants to hear the report. So, Pastor, what happened when you went down to the revival? He goes, I didn't get nothing. And he went like that, and 300 went. And he was like this. So those of you that think you're getting nothing, have some more nothing. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. He says, I'm hot. God, give him more nothing. Get Miss Yvette, too, Lord. Give her more nothing. More nothing. Absolutely nothing. Give her more of nothing. Yes, Lord. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Well, now that all the religious devils are getting all crazy... That's usually what happens in these meetings. What's a sign and a wonder to me is in this kind of atmosphere, people sit there like this. If you want to enter into what's going on tonight, just look at the person next to you that's not laughing. It will help. He's like, I got to go. I have to go. Lift your hands, Angelo. Fire! Oh! Oh! Hallelujah! Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man. Wow. Wow. Uh-oh. This is really good. Hey, this is called vintage wine. It's 2,000 years old. Oh, man. Oh. See the Oh. The The Bible said, the Bible said, let me tell you what it said. The Bible seriously, listen. The Bible, listen to me. The Bible said that that's not what it said. Listen. Listen to me. The Bible said, I am so wasted. Honey, I'm wasted. I'm totally gone. I have gone to my happy place. I tell you what. Okay, listen. All right, I better back it up. Oh, my God. All right, hold on. Lift your hands right now, everybody in this place. Lord, send your fire! I'd like another drink, please. Do we have another water? By the way, just to let you know tonight, drinks are on the house. They are on the house. If you'll just drink of the blah, blah, blah. Listen to me. I'm so trying to do this. Oh, my God. Okay. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Don't worry, for every fire there's an alarm. It's okay. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Everybody sitting? Okay. Got that down. That's one. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Now, I know it looks like I'm a mop up here, but listen. When the sound came and it occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Can you hear the sound of heaven tonight? It doesn't sound like what you're used to. It doesn't sound like what you're used to. Now listen to me. I had a hard time being in meetings where people were laughing in the middle of the service. And it burned in me like hot oil. And then I got drunk one night. I was in Wildwood, New Jersey. And I was preaching. And people began to laugh. And all of a sudden, I could not read the scripture because my eyes were blurring the words. And I had a thought that was not spiritual. And I looked to my wife and I said, I can't read the words. I think my eyes are going right in the middle of the service. And it dawned on me, I'm drunk. I'm totally sloshed. And God began to work on me. And next thing you know, I stopped preaching and the whole place was laid out laughing until about 1:30 in the morning. Do you know what the joy does to people? It brings them back strength in their Christian life. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. When's the last time you've laughed? And I mean had a belly laugh. Just look at your neighbor. That'll get things started. Oh. See, when you're drunk, you don't care what people think. You don't care what people say or what people do. You think about when you were in the bars. When you were in the bars, you were the most truthful people that walked the face of the earth. You told them everything about your life. Parts they really didn't need to hear. Just take it, just sit back right now. Sit back like this, real relaxed. Take your hands, put them on your belly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just put your hands on your belly. Sit back, relax.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. We're going to be flying tonight probably 100,000 feet into the atmosphere.
Chance of turbulence, 100%. Now, put your hands on your belly. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, last time I saw a river, it flows. And it moves. So close your eyes, lean back, and just say this. I am drunk. Ah. Why do you think the Lord said, turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world will grow strangely dim? You got to get your eyes off of yourself. Put them on Jesus. Close your eyes. What's wrong with you people? Put your eyes on Jesus. Stop putting them on yourself. Put your hands on your belly. Some of you took your hands off. Put them back on your belly. Say this after me. I am. Drunk. Don't look back here. Put your eyes on Jesus. It's a problem with the church. You're always looking to man. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Some of you got stagnant water. That's why mosquitoes hang around you everywhere you go. Just let it bubble out of your belly.
I'm okay, brother. Thank you.
They must have thought that the disciples were drunk. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But God used Mr. Foot and Mouth Disease. Peter stood up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and said, men of Judea, hearken these words today. These men are not drunk as you suppose, but they are full of the new wine. In other words, it was prophesied in Joel 2:28. Oh. But these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Baptist flesh. Pentecostal flesh, Catholic flesh, and brothers and sisters, even atheist flesh, Jehovah's Witness flesh, Muslim flesh, Hindu flesh, every flesh. Hallelujah. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Now you listen to me. Listen to me clearly. Why do you think things have been happening the way they've been the last 10 years? Two missiles fly right into New York City, 100 miles from here. Down come the World Trade Center. Both. Just a year later, a tsunami comes, wipes out a quarter of a million people, just like that. All of a sudden, weather patterns are changing. Sharks in the ocean are acting different. All of a sudden, gay marriage is okay. Jesus said, and just as in the days of Noah, the Son of Man shall come. Now you listen to me. If you don't know the Lord, and if all you're doing is practicing religion by coming to church on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or a Wednesday night or a Friday night, I fear for your life. End of story. That'll sober you up. That's why you must know the move of the Spirit. Why do you think they were all filled with the Holy Spirit? And isn't it amazing the introduction is it made them drunk? It's so they were about to walk out into the journey of their life where some of them are going to be martyred. You have to be able to laugh. You have to be able to have some joy in your life with what's about to come at you. Have you ever had a place in your life where it all came together and it just all fell? And all calamity just all hit at once. Tragedy, calamity, financial breakdown, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden you acted like a madman. Don't look at me like you've never done it. You come to the end of yourself and what happens? You go, why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And isn't it true? After you did that initial, the next day things begin to change and get better. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what's going to keep you through all the storms of your life. My people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. And those disciples in the upper room, they humbled themselves and they did what the word of the Lord was. The word of the Lord was this: go wait. End of story. I'll send the Holy Ghost. You'll know when he arrives. I'll say so, Lord. Thank you for the warning. But do you realize there was 120 that got filled in that place? But there was a whole lot more before the Holy Spirit came. But others left the building. And they said, I ain't getting nothing out of this. I'm discouraged. Jesus is gone. What are we going to do now? That's why I say, how do you think the guy felt when he found out the Holy Ghost came 5 minutes after he left? It's real. Put your hands on your belly. Close thine eyes. Close thine eyes. Close your eyes. Your flesh wants to look at everything. Close your eyes. Say this after me. I am
a carrier
of the presence of God. Say it again.
I am
a carrier
of the presence
of God.
Holy Spirit,
everywhere I go,
you go with me.
People have testimonies in here and they're just blurting them out right now. How many appreciated her testimony just now? You don't know what people are going through. Some people, they've got to laugh. Some people have got to let it come out of the inside. It's like the movie Anger Management. He says there's two kinds of people. explosive and implosive. He says the explosive guy always comes in the supermarket and gets the cashier upset and just drives everybody wild. He says the implosive guy is the cashier that takes all the crap for about 6 months, then comes in with a shotgun and shoots everybody. That's why you got to let it out in these kind of meetings, because God deals with the heart and he burns out all the religion. And guess what happens when you laugh anyway? Scientists are now proving it. Forget about everything. Scientists have now proven when you have a belly laugh, your body goes into hyperhealing. It heals itself. It actually drives cancer out. Did you know that? People don't understand that. How many seen the movie Patch Adams? Patch Adams was on to something. Why? Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Which is why he went into the cancer wards and he dressed up like a clown to make them laugh because they got stronger. And they did studies and found out that all the kids that he made laugh, all their test results got stronger. They didn't get weaker, they got stronger. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why.
Well, I thought I was supposed to come to church and be all dignified and hallelujah, hallelujah.
Some people you go, how are you?
I'm happy. I'm absolutely ecstatic.
Well, I can tell. Please don't touch me. Because I don't want anything you got. Because when people are happy and full of God, there is a shout, there is joy that comes, and there's a fire that burns on the inside of you. Now quickly turn to 1 Kings 17, real quickly. I was going to go to Haggai, but I'm going to go to 17. My wife is totally wasted right now. That's why she's not here yet. She's right there, but she's not here. You know what I'm saying? She went to her happy place. Turn to 1 Kings 17. You don't want to miss tomorrow night. I'll just tell you right now. If this is any indication of what meetings are to come, oh my God. All right. 1 Kings 17. I just want to speak to you real quickly before we give you an opportunity to give. People wonder why they have depressed lives. When's the last time you made somebody laugh?
Every time I wake up, somebody laughs at me in my face. Sorry.
Okay. First, go to 1 Kings 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And Elijah the Tishbite. Awesome name. And all the other bites. Of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Which, you know, it's funny. I've read this scripture 800 times. And it's almost like the Lord holds back the rain on purpose so that you'll call it out. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that the Bible actually says that the Lord pulls his presence away from you for a time? Why? So you'll chase him again. All you ladies in here, when you got married, why'd you get married? It's because you were pursued. Some lady said, or something. I'm going to read the scripture over here if that's all right. Can I just sit down right here? Holy, holy, holy. Good thoughts in, bad thoughts out. Good, 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 good. First Kings 17, verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, I asked this 2 nights ago. How many need some ravens to feed you right about now? Amen? Of course you do. We all need provision. So he went. I'm in verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's the key. He went and he
did.
That was 17 people. So he went and he
did
according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. Now, it's interesting. I can get the meat part. Because when you're in a desert, there's a carcass laying around that a raven can land on and grab a piece of meat. A speedy or something, you know, and just grab it. But how did the ravens get the bread? Did you ever think that? How in heaven's name did the ravens get the bread? Just food for thought. So, that's terrible. That was really bad. Yeah. Why don't you all go to your happy place real quick and I'll finish. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise. Say that with me. And go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now look at me. I thought that we were supposed to provide for the widows. See, people get all upset because, oh no, this is an offering teaching. You're teaching prosperity. Sorry, buddy, I didn't mean to step on your foot. Consider it an impartation. Or indentation. A lot of people think that prosperity message is just so the guy gets richer or so a ministry gets richer. But no, the Lord uses certain people in the ministry to do what he's called to do because they're just crazy enough to do what he says. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see somebody walking down the road and you think they're absolutely out of their mind and nuts, but it could be the next prophet that has the word of the Lord to change the earth. And you see him walking down and they're like, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm not going to. I can't do it. And you're like, you're driving down, you're like, psycho. But you don't know, the Lord might be speaking to that guy. So he said, he commanded a widow. Now, that's the other thing. The Lord will command people to provide for you. When you give, it'll be given unto you. This works in all ways, not just finances. This works in ministry. This works in your family. This works in your business. This works in your children. When you give more time to your children, guess what? They give you more time. What a concept. When you give more time to your kids, they give you more time. And when you get older in the years, you'll find they'll want to actually come over to the house and bless you with their presence. Some people don't want their presence necessarily. It's just like, you know, people are glad to be grandparents, but, you know, the parent thing's hard. And the reason is, hold that for me. The reason is because, you know, you bring over the grandchild and they're with them. It's about 5 hours or so. Then the parents come back, they go, okay, bye. I always like to mess with people. So I, like my son or something like that, he'd be like having a bad day or something. And somebody would come in that was being a smart aleck or whatever to me or something crazy. I'm just being real, just being funny, kind of. And they would like say something really bad to me or something like that. I go, oh, and I take my son. Would you like to hold him? Oh, he's a... They hold him. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Bless you. Yeah. Can we please get back to the scripture? So verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, of course, because the Lord commanded her. Gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Leave the woman alone, Elijah. She's a widow woman. What are you messing with her for?
Listen to me.
Verse 12. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have. Now, without you getting all positive on me, say this with me. I do not have.
I do not have.
That would be reality to some folks in here tonight, but it's not the reality. But the woman confessed, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, which tells me she has. And on top of that, she has a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Sounds like a great future. And Elijah said to her, now this is the word of the Lord coming from the man of God. He says, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. You arrogant prophet. And bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. It's right there, verse 13. Well, thank you, Elijah. I was already doing that until you walked in on the scene. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be. Now he's prophesying. He said, for thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends, I'm sorry, the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So not only is he saying her oil is not going to run dry, he's also saying, guess what? The Lord is going to be sending rain soon. Can you say amen? Everybody look at me. Verse 15, so she went away and did. Look at me. She went away and did. Didn't question it. Okay, the Lord said to do this. This is what you're teaching. I'm going to do. Read on. And she did according to the word of Elijah. Well, that doesn't say God, does it? Oh, it was Elijah was the mouthpiece of God. Are you hearing me? God still uses man today. So she did according to the word of Elijah, and she said, she and he and her household ate for many days. She ate for many days because why? She did what the word of the Lord came through Elijah and did what he commanded her to do. She didn't say, well, who do you think you are? I'm just like you. I'm an American. There's a scripture, oh, you foolish, senseless Americans. No, there's not. Verse 16, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. All right, you can put your Bibles up for a second. Look at me. We have not been able to survive 4 years on just going around and taking up offerings in ministries and in churches. The only way that we have survived is by giving. And I don't even mean doing a service. I don't mean giving of my time. I don't mean giving of my talent. Because a lot of evangelists hide behind the whole, I give, I give, I give. But see, folks, in the last 4 years, we've given tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars. Because the Lord commanded us, if we go on the road and we are to serve the body of Christ, then we need to live what we preach. And I have watched God take me from a very, very small salary and bless me over abundance. And why does God give it to you in the first place? So you can be a blessing to bless others. Why do you think God gives gifts to people? It's not enough for a worship leader to be a good singer and play good and everything like that if he or she does not impart that gift into somebody else. It was never meant just for that person. It was meant to bless the body. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
So I'm telling you tonight, with your finances, it works the same exact way. Some of you need a breakthrough in here tonight. Some of you have been sowing this whole week. And God's still challenging your heart because he's trying to get you into the principles of giving and reaping, sowing and reaping, because that's the way it is. And whether you like it or not, you will always have what you already have as long as you keep on doing the same thing you've always been doing. And if you're not givers, don't expect anything to come your way. Are you listening? Now, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just telling you, this is the one area where Christians want to come to a great revival meeting, get set on fire. All of a sudden, their heart has been changed, and they go, thank you, and they walk out, and they never put their substance to what they just received from the Lord. And it's not for the sake of us needing money. It's the sake that you need a breakthrough. This is the way it works. Now, I'm stepping on everybody's feet in the front row. That's awesome. Just watch these people. They're like, I'm so sorry. Just receive the indentation. This is the only way to live in your life. Now, you can give tonight, and that's wonderful. That's great. Do what you feel like you're supposed to do. Do what the Lord says. That's the best time to give. You do what the Lord tells you to do. So just going, tip. I mean, you wouldn't walk into a restaurant, you get all done eating, the waitress brings you a bill, and you go, not tonight. How's the food? Oh, my gosh, that steak was amazing. Yeah, can you pay the bill? Not tonight. Lord hasn't spoke to me. 20 minutes later. Should have paid the bill, dude. You're washing dishes. You with me? Tonight, you can sow, and God will bless you. Now, what you're sowing into tonight, and we've been saying this all week, how many are new here tonight? You've not been in any of the meetings. Oh, my goodness. Would you make them welcome tonight? How many have traveled from more than 4 hours away besides you to be in these meetings tonight? How about 3 hours away? You traveled 3 hours to be here tonight. More than 3 hours. 2 hours. You traveled more than 2 hours away to be here tonight. Where are you from? From Marlboro? Marlboro. Oh. How are your lungs? Okay, good. Welcome. Welcome. How many have driven for like an hour and a half away to be here tonight? Hour and a half away. Where are you from? Albany area. Awesome. How about you've driven from an hour away to be here tonight? Where are you from? Albany. Where are you from? Somebody read. Wappingers Falls. Awesome. Can we just make everybody welcome one more time from their travels in there? Thank you. Now, we try to move with the Holy Spirit in the way the Holy Ghost wants to move in these meetings. These meetings are not programmed. This is not church as usual. How many could turn around and go, uh-huh? These are geared to stir your heart, to realize what you believe. And let me just say this to you, some folks that are a little bit older here tonight, God has not given up on you. Your time is not up. You listen to me. Smith Wigglesworth was 56 years old when he started his ministry. When he started his ministry. Now turn to your friend and say, there's hope. Now you young people listen to me in this room. You need to begin to honor those that have gone before you, and you will see the blessings of the Lord chase you down. Now, this is a young guy who hated authority. I hated authority. My dad wasn't in my life. I hated anybody. I always had rent-a-dad. I'd be like, hey, rent-a-dad. But something I learned is I was kicking against the wrong person. The Bible says, when your parents fail you. You notice it doesn't say if. It says when. Now, I'm a parent. I have 2 kids, 8 and 7, girl and boy, David and Joy, which is really confusing in our house. My grandfather's name is Ray. My dad's name is Roy. I'm Roy. My daughter's Joy, and my son's David Roy. So when we're all together, and they go, hey, Roy. Everybody's like, what? But the Bible says, when your parents fail you, I will come. He's the father to the fatherless. And you young people need to look around you and see. You know, this is so on key. I'm not just saying this because some of the things that we spoke about last night and everything in the room that we talked about. But I believe this is kind of the heartbeat of what God's trying to do here in Kingston. But you young people need to listen up. You need to honor your father and mother. And don't hide behind the, they don't understand me. How about this? Why don't you try to learn to understand them? What a concept. If you try to learn to understand them, you will understand the way they function. And if they got some old ways, so be it. Just show them that you love them. Don't fight against them. All the mothers and dads are going, amen.
Hallelujah. Preach it, Roy.
But let me say this to the old folks now. Don't be so rough on your kids. Especially those that are making an effort to go to church and have the call of God in their life. And maybe they come home and they're a little rambunctious and they think they got the fire of God on them. The anointing's so strong they can't clean the room. It's like one time this teenager came home, told his father, Dad, look, I bench pressed 250. He's like, that's awesome, son. Could you bench press your socks off the floor for me? You will see the blessings of the Lord. And you know what happens? That's you sowing into your parents' life, and that's the parents sowing into the children's life. And the hearts of the father will be turned towards the son, and the sons will be turned back towards the fathers. That's why we are the generation right now. You cannot let another generation go by. We must deal with it right here, right now, at this time, at this juncture. Today is the day. Can you say amen? Now on your seat, there is an envelope. So go ahead and look down on your seat real quick. We are a 501c3 certified. That means you get a tax receipt if you give anything to our ministry. To make you feel more comfortable, which I'm really not trying to do tonight, but I'll go ahead down this road. We do not personally get any kind of salary from this money that you give towards our ministry. God has blessed me with the music so much so that I draw a check every 2 weeks from RFM, Roy Fields Music Incorporated. We have a base down in Florida. God has blessed us after 3.5, 4 years on the road. God blessed us. We went from a 3-bedroom house that was really, really small, about 1,500 square feet. That's not really small, but I'm just saying we went from 1,500 square foot. I know, hey now. From 1,500 square foot to nothing. Staying in hotels and everything. And in April of 2008, last summer, I joined up with an evangelist, which I don't join up with evangelists. I just don't do it. Because I don't prostitute my gift. Nor should you. It's definitely there to serve the body, but you don't have to prostitute it. God gave it to you for a reason. So I hooked up with this evangelist, and all of a sudden revival broke out, and my music went around the world globally. Sold 30,000 CDs in about 5 months. No marketing, no advertising. No record company, no nothing. And you know what I believe it is? Because in those 4 months of the revival, I sowed my life. How many watched me on television? Do you know how many times I would get off that stage and I would tell the Lord, I'm so tired. I don't know if I can do it tomorrow. And I kept hearing over and over again in my spirit, son, you're sowing. You're changing people's lives. I'm using you. You're touching millions. That's what kept me going. I realized I was sowing. I had the ability to take an expense report and give it to Fresh Fire Ministries, and they would pay me back for all the expenses, which were around $8,000. I told them, forget it, and I sowed it. And then in the revival, I think we sowed over $10,000 or something, baby. Something like that. We just gave into the ministry. And I'm not trying to prove and brag or anything. I'm trying to, you know what? You can't brag unless you got rights. And I'm only saying this so that it'll inspire you, because you can come to a place where all of a sudden you realize that God really is your only source. I never thought that would ever happen to me until I started applying the principles. And all of a sudden, here I am standing with a microphone. You're listening. And I'm having this flashback when I was 15 years old, sitting in the same meeting, and a preacher was up there telling me the same thing that he lived by. And he said, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm having a surreal moment right now. Like, how did I get here? And that's what the Lord will do if you sow. God told me years ago, son, when everything means nothing to you, I will give you everything because I can trust you with it. You won't be attached. I've given away rings and watches and bracelets and clothes and vehicles and you name it. We've just given it. Why? I had nothing to get attached to. All we had was our truck and trailer. So I couldn't hold on to anything. That's why it's sometimes good to go on the road. Seriously. Have nothing to be attached to. And the more you get attached to, how many know, and I've hung around millionaires who are absolutely depressed, and they are the most wealthiest people in the world. And I'm just sitting there thinking, give me the money. I will sow it into a country, man. What's wrong with you? I hate to be that guy who just sits there with a mound of money and he does nothing with it. Put some action to it. You can't take it with you. The first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven is give an offering to the Lord. You're going to take a crown that represents your whole life, and you're going to give it to him. The Bible says that, and you're going to throw it at his feet, and you're going to say, Lord, everything I had was because of you. Everything I've done, good, because of you. It all belongs to you anyway. He just gives us control over certain things. But see, God supplies all of our needs, and he is our source. He has cattle on 1,000 hills. That's what the Bible says in the Old Testament. He has cattle on 1,000 hills. We need anything, he just moves it around. Jesus never went without for his ministry. Smith Wigglesworth said, Lord, if I go in the ministry, you're going to dress me well. And so the Lord did. I met Smith Wigglesworth's limo driver. And people have a hard time wrapping their minds around it. But folks, the blessings chase you down. It'll make people jealous of you because they're chasing you. And you say, why? People want to judge what I have sometimes. It's not attached to me. I just tell people this, just be careful when you judge my harvest, because you got to judge my seed first. Don't judge my blessings until you judge my sowing. Because these principles work. And seed time and harvest will remain in the earth until Jesus returns. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to get too serious on you, but I want you to get this. Because it's not like we have to have this money tonight. We weren't even supposed to be here tonight. We weren't even supposed, honest to God, we weren't even supposed to be in Kingston this weekend. But the pastor of this church called and said, Roy, would you come? I believe we're ready for a move of God. And I'd say, God's moving. At least something's moving. Amen? Now, how many of y'all are going to come back tomorrow night, Monday night, if we stay and we cancel some things? All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call every person in the Pueblo and tell them you've got to get to the Monday night meeting, 6:30 p.m. And We will find out tomorrow, unless I already said it. Did I really say it?
Yeah.
Tell me I didn't.
Oh, you did.
That we would stay Tuesday night. We were tossing it around. Hang on a second. I'm getting confirmation from my wife. You want to keep on telling me that? Okay. No, I didn't say the whole week now. Easy. I'm supposed to be in Baltimore Friday. And then I'm on CBN the next week, by the way. I don't know if anybody heard that. I forget there's new people here, but I've been invited to be interviewed by Gordon Robertson on the 700 Club. And that's awesome. And on top of that, when they interview me on Friday, they have now just said to me, they want to give me my own hour slot on Monday for 1 hour. I lead worship for a half hour, and then I teach the word for a half hour. Can you imagine if what happened here tonight happens at the 700 Club? Because I don't care. I just want God to move. Hallelujah. I was just messing with you there. Listen, you can give tonight by way of credit card, Visa, MasterCard, American Distress, or you'll discover. You can give away by check or cash. And if you make a check out, make it out to Run With Fire or RWF, whatever you choose is fine. So as you're making that out, now, why don't we do this? Why don't we just bow our heads real quick? We do this every place we go because I want you to hear the Lord's voice on this. We're going to Australia in March. We'll be there a whole month. Some of you don't even know that we went to England. We were supposed to go for 2 weeks. We ended up being there 2 months. We went to 20 cities, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, England. We saw in 20 cities, 46 meetings, 1,550 decisions for Jesus. I don't know what the count is here, but I believe it's somewhere around 50 decisions right here in Vineyard Church since Friday night. So just bow your head and say, Lord, how can I be a part of the harvest? I need to put some more stuff in my account in heaven. When I get there, I want a heap. Just ask him, Lord, what would you have me give tonight to Run With Fire? Usually he'll give somebody a number. I try to help people out. I say this all the time. I say, if it's a big number, that is the Lord. If it's a small number, it is the devil. And if you don't know which number's which, put them together, that is the Lord. Amen? Are you ready to give? Say amen.
Amen.
Ushers, if you come forward to receive the offering tonight, if you need some time, let me know right now. Hey, wait a minute, I got to write this out, Roy. If you need some time. Are you ready to give? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Ushers, just come forward and receive the offering. Go ahead. I'm sorry? That's it, dude. It's cool. Now, we have some free stuff. Now, my wife was supposed to speak tonight, but when she's laid out on the front pew, laughing uncontrollably, hey, happy wife, happy life. And I've always said behind every happy wife is a very surprised mother-in-law. So, you like that one. Awesome. So does your mother-in-law. Anyway, we have some free stuff to give. How many people like free stuff? And we had these hats made up. This is our logo. Obviously, if we're called Run With Fire, obviously our logo is going to be fire. So we had a guy design this. Nobody else has this flame. And somebody said to me, they said, Run With Fire. Isn't that dangerous? Said, yep, we're going to call our ministry Run With Scissors, the next one we develop. So, anyways, the purpose of this is to remind you that in the upper room, it sat upon each of them as divided tongues as a fire. This is a reminder. It's not just a gimmick. Because I've had people that have actually said when they've wore this hat, they're reminded and they just walk around with, they have a whole new view. They proudly carry the fire with them. And guess what? It actually encourages them to win the lost. Because people go, what's that on your hat? Oh, run with fire. What do you mean run with fire? Well, in Luke 3:16, you guys remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus? Well, before Jesus came, Luke 3:16 says, John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but there's one that's coming that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we have pink for the girls. I think you should get that hat for just that scream. Come here. Fire. And we have silver for the guys. All right. Now, I don't know what Chad is getting. You got to be careful when you tell a guy, just get something. I need a generation shirt, Chad. Run down there real quick. Give me a generation shirt. Generation shirt. Generation shirt. Generation shirt. Okay. This is called the Less of Me album. Now, you've all heard the In the Presence. How many enjoyed the song we did tonight, Holy? Well, let me let you in on something. It's not called Holy. It's called In the Presence of Angels. That's the name of the song. Well, that's on the first CD. And I'm going to play a quick version. Do we have the Less of Me CD up there? Let me know in the sound booth. You do have it? I'm sorry? Okay. This is my daughter Joy, by the way. In fact, now that she's here, she sang in England in front of 600 people and on live television that went out to millions. And sweetie, did you enjoy singing with Daddy?
Yes.
And what do you know, here's something amazing too. I'm glad you're here because this is not planned or skidded or anything. I'm just now bringing my kids into a place where they can come up to the platform and talk and speak and all that. You know, we're trying to give it away too. So, I want you to, Joy, tell them what happened to you when you listened to Daddy's music. How you had a, remember? So just tell them real quick.
When I was listening to it, I had one tear come down because I was praising the Lord.
You know, I promise you that was not skidded because some people bring up their kids so everybody thinks they're wonderful and all that kind of stuff. My daughter, when we first were in the revival, we pulled up into a Walmart and we were playing the live master from the first album. And we just sat in there. And listen, you got to understand something. These are not, and I'm not, this is not a salesman up here tonight, okay? These CDs, I know this is my CD, okay? I know I did it and all this stuff. These CDs are the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of. And I'm not kidding you. I have had emails from major worship leaders that have listened to this and from people all over the world that said, Roy, this took me into the presence of God. How many people actually have this music? Lift up your hands. Am I lying? It takes you into the presence of God. See, it's not about Roy Fields. It's about Jesus. And you've heard the first CD, some of you, but you haven't heard the second CD because this has just the same exact anointing, except it's a little different. And there's, that makes no sense, right? I do that on purpose just to figure out who's listening. But for instance, on this, on here, I wrote a song called Less of Me. Can you guys play Less of Me? I believe it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it's definitely number 6. And turn it up. I don't even know my own CD. Turn it up. It's on the Less of Me CD. Yeah, turn it up. It's called Less of Me. This is a song that was written in the revival. Just like tonight, I wrote a song. That song's going on an album live somewhere in the world. Listen.
Well, anyhow, I get totally lost listening to that CD myself. So, that's the CD. did I give it out already? You haven't. Who would like this CD? They're $18 downstairs. See the man right there with the glasses waving his hand? You're right there, sir. Wave your hand really rapid. See him? You see him? Go get, whoa. I did the same thing last night, Joy. We have the song In the Presence of Angels. It's a studio cut version. And will you do me a favor? No, we're not going to play. We don't have enough time. Who would like this album? We just bless somebody. See the lady way back there waving her hand with the short black hair and the blue shirt? It's a good jump. The song Fill This Place, which we play every night at the end of the service. Here, I'll just bless you, bro. That's the first time I've thrown since I hit a girl down in Florida. I'm not kidding you. I was at Ignited Church on New Year's Eve, and I tossed a thing out, and it was like in slow motion. And I was like, and it went, and on television and on internet, she bleeds. Am I telling the truth? She bled. I said, you can have everything on my table. Please don't sue me. But listen, the less of me that you just heard, it's also on... You have to pardon her. She's so shy. The less of me... The Less of Me is also on DVD. And it'll take you right into the outpouring in the Civic Center. It's very, very, very entertaining. All right. Who would like this DVD? Right there, screamer. See, the violin, take it by force. Take it down to the girl that just screamed. We've got shirts downstairs, any size you want. The only problem is, and we found this out in the revival, we had people coming up and saying, could I have a triple X Less of Me shirt? What? What do you say? Yes, sure. So look, it says less of me and more of you. And it says, I am thirsty, hungry, and desperate for your presence. And this size is an extra large, less of me. Who would like an extra large, less of me? See that girl in the pink right there, sweetie? Go ahead and throw that to her. We got guys' less of me shirts. Chad, did you get me my generation shirt?
Maybe.
Go get my generation shirt. Give me a name out of size. All right. Sounds like the price is right now.
Extra large, triple, quadruple, five, six. Give me the whale size.
Which is amazing because that's why I don't even go down to the ocean anymore. I'm tired of people harpooning me. So... So you're like, wow, it's a nice day today. Wow. So anyway, this is an adult small. Less of me, more of you.
I'll just do this. I'm going to do this. Ready?
It's like you're at a reception. You go like that. Okay. Have you enjoyed yourself tonight? Now, before we leave, I got two things I have to do before everybody leaves. You want to make sure that you come here tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Thank you. Hey, open that for me, bro, because I'm like, I pulled a muscle.
Chad's like, oh, no problem, dude.
Everybody look at Chad. Okay, simmer down, ladies. Now, this is just, we are the generation. We are the generation, and there's a picture of the hungriest people that came in Florida, and they're just shouting out to God like you hear in the worship. And then on the back it says, so it says, we are the generation. It says, who will stand and fight? In the midst of all the darkness, we will carry the light. These are great witnessing tools, so that's why we made them. Who would like this shirt? The girl right there in the blue. See her with the long hair? Wave your hand back there. No, no. Right there. Yep. Oh, you have blue too. Right there. Sorry. In the back. There it is. Sorry. Now, okay, we're all done. Thank you, sweetie pie. You're like an Oompa Loompa. All right. Melanie, come up just real quick. Would you give a great big God bless you to my wife, Melanie Fields? Just real quick. Now, something you need to understand, and we've gone a little bit later than we wanted to. We wanted to stop at 9:30, but when the move of the Spirit comes, we go with the flow. Can you say amen? Amen. I'd rather have the move of the Holy Ghost than the move of another program. Amen. But this is my wife, Melanie, and we are going to do everything we can tomorrow because I believe you need to hear what she has to say tomorrow night. We were trying to do it tonight, but you were knocked out. She was out, laid out. And she's all geared up, ready to go. But why don't you just greet the folks?
Okay. It's awesome. I just want to encourage y'all. I mean, I love the move of the Holy Spirit so much, you know? And it's, I have to tell you, after being in so many revivals, part of Brownsville Revival, part of a revival that was spurred through Toronto, down in Lakeland, after being in the presence of God so much, I just have to tell you, we all know that there's seasons of revival, not because God sovereignly does it, but because the body just seems to get hungry for a season. And revival is in an atmosphere that's so precious where God just begins to light fires. And he begins to pull out of us things that have been there that we haven't known how to get rid of. Thank you, Jesus. And anyway, I just want to encourage you. This is an atmosphere and a season where I've seen hope in people's eyes, that revival is possible again.
Yeah.
And I've seen a hunger on the inside of them where they're saying, you know what? It looks like things are getting bad around me. The church is starting to look like things are a mess. Leaders are falling. People are falling left and right. The person I trusted in, the person I thought was so righteous and so close to God, they fell away. This happened, that happened. The economy's bad. And you're seeing this hunger in the people of America rising up and saying, I have to get a hold of God again. I have to have a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And there's something about hunger that grabs God and pulls him down in the midst of the most unlikely, unseen circumstances you could ever imagine. We, in Lakeland, I tell you what, I've been believing for a move of God for 3 years. We had been on the road, and I'd been praying, and I'd given up everything. And I said, God, you know, I didn't give up my house and my home to just go sit in dead ordinary meetings. I didn't give up everything I owned just so I could have another church service. I want a move of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, when we joined Todd down in Lakeland, We had said to God, if it's time for us to serve another ministry again, we'll give our lives. Yep. But I want revival. Amen. And he didn't look like a revival guy to us because he did four-day conferences. And all we said was, God, you know, four-day conferences aren't enough for us. They're good, and the body needs them, but we are so desperate and so hungry because we've had revival. We've had the move of the Holy Spirit where you lay on the floor and nobody moves hours and hours.
Let me just say this according with you, babe, is that, first of all, why do you think all the denominations have started? Do you know all the denominations started with a move of God?
That's right.
Why do you think revival is necessary for a church? That's what keeps things in order and keeps things going. Are you with me tonight? If we didn't have a move of God, then we'd all be just religious people doing religious things for no reason. Nobody puts their heart in the thing. That's why the move of God is necessary. That's why it's necessary to press in at night, every day. So take advantage of these meetings. Go ahead, baby.
And pressing in, you'll see such a transformation in your life. I mean, you've been fighting things. You've been trying to get rid of sickness, sin in your life, things that have kept you in bondage, financial problems. Maybe you don't like hour-long offering teachings. Maybe you don't like to sit here till 12 at midnight. But you know what? Has what you've been doing changed your life so far? Have you gotten what you needed as of till yet? And so I'm saying it may be a challenge to you. It may make you feel a little bit like, oh, I'm not sure I can handle that. But I tell you what, it was a 5-hour-long offering teaching that gave me the anointing to set me free from a salary that was not enough to even pay our bills. And took me around the world and saw me giving away $16,000 rings. It was a 5-hour-long offering teaching that imparted into me the anointing. So there's strength and there's power in sometimes going out of the box. Like Roy says, if you want to have what you've always had, then do what you've always done. And so that's what we're about. We're about getting in the anointing, getting in the presence of God. And these meetings are designed to impart a holy hunger in you that nothing else can put inside of you. Nothing else will have you encounter God like a hunger after the things of God. And sometimes when you're sitting in meetings and you don't feel like anything's happening, what's happening to you is you're being stripped of religious boxes and religious mindsets and things in your heart that are blocking the move of God. You want an encounter with God? You come in and you press in and you say, God, I got to have you. Whatever you have, whatever's inside of me that's keeping me from touching heaven, I want it taken out, whether it be unforgiveness, bitterness, sin, greed, religion. The number one move, the number one thing that stops the move of God is religion. So that I want to encourage you. That's what our purpose in meetings is. That's what our purpose is. Because you know what? There's plenty of people going around doing the teaching, the preaching of the word. Plenty of people talking and doing three-day-long seminars. Not enough people bringing revival. So I just want to encourage you. If you think you're ready for revival, Kingston. If you believe that it's time to take the lid off of the move of God, it's time to take the lid off the call of God in your life, to snatch that box of religion out of your life, then press in with us. Because you know what? As much as we love to have the opportunity to be on CBN, to go to big churches, to go to great nations, we would lay it all down again, just Absolutely. Like we did in Lakeland, just to have a move of
in
God.
In a heartbeat, I would not just show up at CBN. You. If the move of God was to break out right here in Kingston, New York. Now, just so you know, we're here to work. Her and I are here to work. We're here to press in, to help those that have a hard time pressing in and finally bring them to the place where they press in themselves. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about pushing. What does push mean? Ready? Pray until something happens. Amen?
Amen.
I want every head to bow in this place tonight. Brother number 4, Black. Just every head bowed, please. Every eye closed in respect of everyone else tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your move of the Spirit tonight. My God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and turn it up just a little. Let the music just sing over the people. Just bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. Fill everybody's place tonight, Lord. Let the embers burn in every person tonight. Let the fire rise inside their heart. Crack every heart of stone in here tonight. Let them understand that you've called them as your own. Just put your hand on your heart tonight with your head bowed and your eye closed.
I want to ask every person in here tonight, with every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around in respect of everyone else, if you were to leave this place tonight, when you walk out, and all of a sudden your life was taken from you, and instantly you crossed over from this life into eternity, I have to ask you a very real question, because there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. You don't have to go to a devil's hell tonight. It belongs to him. It was created for him, not you. But tonight, if you were to step foot from this life into eternity, search your heart right now and ask yourself, my question to you is, do you know within the heart of your hearts, do you know that you know that you know that you would spend eternity in heaven? The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is hope for you, my friend, in here. If you've never known the Lord, or maybe you've gone to church, but you never asked him into your heart to change you, there's hope. And if you'd like to pray that prayer with me tonight, I want you to lift your hand and say, Roy, would you pray with me? I must know the Lord. Anyone in this place tonight, just lift your hand. Nobody looking around. Please respect everyone else. Roy, I don't know the Lord. I must know Jesus. I can't do this life without him. Anyone in this place tonight? Praise God. I figured we were talking to believers tonight. With every head still bowed, I have a second call for you. Maybe you asked Jesus into your heart years ago, but you've backslidden. You've fallen away. The Bible says in the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. You're not praying like you used to. And when you try to pray, it's like the heavens are brass. You can't even get through. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't just mean you're going to heaven. It means he can save you from your circumstance. And so there's hope tonight. And if that's you, the Lord's dealing with your heart tonight, and you know, you hear the sound of your voice, your own voice is speaking to you inside, yes, I must turn my life back to Christ. If that's you tonight and you want to deal with it, you don't want to be backslidden any longer, you want to rededicate your life, just lift your hands here. Roy, would you pray with me tonight? I see hands going up all over the building. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am, on the side. Thank you, darling, on the side. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else tonight? Thank you, sir, in the middle. That's the best decision you could have ever made. Thank you for your honesty, sir, in the middle. Anyone else here tonight? God bless you. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Anyone else tonight? You've backslidden. It's time to come back to the Lord. All right, you can put your hands down. Third and final call. If you've already answered one of the two questions, don't raise your hands. But the third and final call is this. Maybe you've asked the Lord into your heart, and you come to church, and it was years ago you asked the Lord into your heart. And you come to church with a smile on your face, and everybody thinks everything's well with you. But it's like Jesus said, you're whitewashed on the outside, but you're full of dead man's bones on the inside. You're living a double life, and you know it. You're still addicted to pornography. You go home and you turn on the computer and everybody's not there, and you shut the door and you watch that perversion and you feed on it, and you don't even know how to get set free from it because it's brought you in. Or you're addicted to alcohol and drugs, and you're now addicted so much so that it's just like you have to have a drink every single day, or you have to have a shot every single day, or you have to inhale every single day. And you put cologne on so you can't. Nobody will smell you when you come in the church. Or you put breath spray in your mouth so nobody can tell you've been smoking, destroying your body. You're leading a double life, sir. You're leading a double life, madam. And the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It will fall. But there's hope. You can turn your heart to the Lord. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times but gets back up again. And tonight, you can deal with this junk in your life. When you go home, you know what I'm talking about because you have nightmares. And you keep hearing these voices speaking to you. And they tell you stuff like you're not saved. Well, they're getting close to the truth. Because sin and the glory of God cannot dwell together. If that's you tonight, with every single head bowed and every eye closed, would you lift up your hand and say, Roy, that's me. Tonight's the night. I'm dealing with it. Just lift your hand right now. I see your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, in the back. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Thank you, sir, in the middle right here. Anyone else tonight? You want to deal with this thing tonight? You're leading a double life. Tonight's the night. Devil, you ain't having me anymore. Thank you, sir, in the front. God bless you. Listen, that's the best honest decision you could ever make. Thank you, lady in the back. God bless you. Anyone else tonight? I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? God bless you. I see your hand, darling. God bless you. Now, there's one other person in here. Your heart's beating fast. And it's because you're fearing the fact of, what if I actually deal with this thing in my life? You will have the best life you've ever lived. I'm telling you right now. The view will change wherever you go. Now, if you answered all three of those questions, I want you to stand to your feet right now and come to the front right now. Come quickly. Quickly, come. Come now. This is the time to deal with it. Three calls. First call, you don't know the Lord. Second, you've backslidden. Third is you're leading a double life and you want to deal with it right now. Come close to the front right here. Just come right in the middle. Don't line up. Ushers, help me. Somebody help me gather them. Thank you. Just come right in here. Close, close, close. Come. Just lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. This is where your help comes from. Now, some of you lifted your hands. You didn't come up here. Jesus said, if you can't confess me before men, I will not confess you before the Father. I'm telling you, this is the time to deal with it right now. And there's actually two people again tonight that your heart is beating fast. You know you're supposed to be here with them, but you're allowing that to come over you. And I'm telling you, it's like an iron searing your conscience. You won't feel that pull from heaven any longer if you don't deal with it on your heart, because it'll get quieter and quieter. There's two people right now. Your heart's beating fast and you're thinking, I don't need to be up there with them. I'm fine. Everything's good. And you know God's dealing with you on something. There's two people. The Lord just told me there's two people in here right now that are not dealing with it and being honest. Thank you, sir. One more. Where's the other one? Where's the other one? There's one more. I'm telling you, it's the best decision you could have ever made. Your life needs to change. I'm telling you, God wants to deal with this. I'll give you one more chance. I'm going to count to three and it's over. One, two, three. It's over. Lift your hands right here at the altar. Put your eyes on Jesus, not me. I'm not the healer. I can't save you. Only He can save you. Now just close your eyes right now. And when you pray this with me tonight, don't you dare just repeat it. You say it from your heart. And just say this with me tonight. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight a sinner. And I understand I am a person in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus, I can't do this life without you. I can't do it anymore. I have to have you. I have to know you. You said in your word that if I would confess my sins before you and before others, that you would forgive me. I declare tonight to every demon in hell that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and you have no hold on me, enemy, because tonight it stops. I'm following Jesus. The Holy Spirit, I ask you tonight that you would walk with me, that you would show me your ways, that you would guide my steps, wash my heart, cleanse my heart, fill me, complete me in Jesus' name. Give me a holy boldness for the things of God so I can be used for your glory. And help me to forgive as you've just forgiven me now. In Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and thank Him. Just thank Him. It's His mercy. You could have walked out of this building tonight and think everything was okay. That's how the Holy Spirit moves. Come on, thank Him from your heart. That's his mercy. I want you to look at me real quick. Look at my eyes, okay? We do this every single night in all of our meetings. Jesus commanded us to forgive other people their sins. Because if we don't, they won't even be forgiven. And I tell you tonight, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the authority of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, tonight all of your sins from tonight and all the past are forgiven you now. It's over. It's that simple. Lift your hands one more time. Let me pray over you. It's real, sweetie. It's real, sweetie. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at me. It's real. The Holy Spirit is touching your heart right now. You can't hold on to those things anymore. That prayer you prayed, every demon heard it, every angel heard it. They're shouting right now in heaven. I'm telling you, the angels are shouting in heaven. Another one. Plucked from hell. It's real, buddy. And God has a call on your life, and you know it. What's happening to you? Are you okay? What are you feeling? Are you okay? What's going on?
I'm so thankful.
He said he's thankful. I wish you could see what I see on this young man's face right now. Tears are streaming down his face. God is touching his heart. Buddy, you're never going to be the same again. You listen to me. You will never be the same again. Father, I pray the same anointing on my life. I pray it into his in Jesus' name. Let the fire of God burn out throughout the inside of him, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. There he goes. There he goes. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Fire! There it is. Just take it. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You will never be the same again, young man. You're going to pluck people out of hell, and you're going to populate heaven. I'll tell you right now. Come on, can we give a mighty shout to the Lord? Now listen. Pastor Vaughn is here. He's going to take you in the back room for about a minute. He just wants to introduce himself to you. Maybe some of you know him, but he wants to quickly just talk to you very briefly. So if you will, he's waving his hand right there. He'll come right to you. Or you go right to him, excuse me. Follow him right out there, if you would, okay? Leave this young man on the floor. Folks, are you seeing this? Can we give the Lord one? I mean, my God. I want everybody to stand to your feet in this place tonight. It's been an awesome day. It has just been an absolutely awesome day. Now, brother, when I get done, I want you to just put this music up louder just for the benefit of him. Okay? And let everybody else filter out. Go downstairs, buy CDs, eat your muffins and whatever. I want everybody to lift your hands tonight. Let me pray over you. Now, this isn't going to be some little weak prayer. Father, I pray that every single person in this place tonight, you have moved upon their life. They saw a tangible move of the Spirit about 2 hours ago, Lord, and all through just now in the altar call. God, I pray that you stir their heart. That they realize church is more than Sunday morning, more than Saturday night, more than a Friday night, more than a Wednesday night. And God, I ask you tonight that you would invade their dreams, antagonize them, Holy Spirit, aggravate them with the plans and purpose that you have for them. Not one person the same. Father, I pray that some of them, they get in their car, when they get home, they get completely, blindly drunk on the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, let them leave with the fire of God tonight. Let it burn within them. When they wake up tomorrow morning, They'll have to pinch themselves because they think they died and gone to heaven. In Jesus' name, send your traveling mercies with them. And Lord, we love you for what you did tonight, and we look forward to tomorrow night. And all God's people with a big shout, say it. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. God bless you.